told my wife, I said, gosh, I don't remember the last time I've been this nervous. I'm 11 years old in the Lord, and here, most of you guys were saved and in ministry before I was even born. That's fine. I'll just pick up my car. So I will drink water. Only because I'm so nervous, my mouth is dry, but hey, God is good. Brother Rice, I appreciate that because I'm not an engineer. I'm a convict, ex-convict, saved by grace, but I tell you, I do the same thing in my Bible. I get in there and I love to tear that thing apart. I've drawn out the tabernacle. I've built the tabernacle. I've done all those things because I love to see what God has. I've written a college course in the first five chapters of the book of Leviticus. Everybody's like, oh, Leviticus is so boring. Yeah. Oh, you have no clue what's in Leviticus. Yeah, you think it's boring. There's so much in there. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate the preaching last night. It was dead on this morning. Wonderful. The singing. And thank God he's never let me down. I've always let him down. I still let him down. Even so much so as the devil's attacked me and my wife last night. We just came home from a meeting. On Sunday night, we were there for 4 days preaching out at Chris Howell's church. And then right back out here for 2 days. And the devil just like to try to take a toll on us. And you know, it's different in this side because I grew up as a convict. I grew up as a man who did prison time in three different states. I grew up as somebody who spent time in mental hospitals and jails and prisons across the United States. And 11 years ago. I mean, just 11 years, I'm still in diapers. Jesus Christ stepped into my life, and he gave me a life that I never thought possible. Yeah. Medication, psychiatric doctors, hospitals, their pills and medicines, drugs, illegal or legal, could never give me the life that Jesus Christ did. Amen. 11 years ago. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so, you know, we support missionaries overseas, and you can see that they send people over there, and they pray for them and financially support them. And we pray that they would go over there and win those nationals to Jesus Christ, and then take and train those nationals to go and reach their people. That's what Jesus Christ has done with me. He's taken me out of the jail and prison system, and he's put me back in with my people. Why? To go that they might get saved and be able to go back and reach their people that are in prison. Amen. Reach their people that are on the outside. But we are not the typical jail and prison ministry where all we do is work with them while they're in jail and prison. We work with them while they're out. We work with their families while they're in to try to get them together even while they're in incarcerated. They're going to come home one day, so we work with those families. God has just put on our heart to start raising money and start a transition home for women fully supported by God's people. We want nothing to do with the government trying to stick their hands in anything because we know how that goes from that point on. Yeah. And the Lord showed me clearly 7 years ago that we won't have that, and I'm okay with that. Right. And so God has given us the ability to go out there and preach and go out there and present our ministry of the churches. And I thank God for every church that has taken us on for support, no matter how much that money is. God knows how to use it if it was a penny. God can take that penny and buy anything he wants with that penny. Why? Because that's who he is. And I thank God for the ability to, for him to do what he needs to do. And then for my wife, since much after I got saved, she got saved. Oh, yeah. And what a wonderful change in her life. She grew up as a Catholic girl. And she said, honey, I don't have a testimony like you. I said, you don't need one like me. People that are incarcerated, they know that we need to be saved. Yeah. But they hear a good tax-paying, law-abiding Catholic girl needs to be saved. That blows their mind.
Yeah.
If you grew up in church, your testimony is very powerful in that prison.
Right.
Okay? It's very powerful then because they know people like us need to be saved. They just don't have an understanding that good church people need to be saved. Yeah. They weren't that way all their whole entire life until Jesus Christ stepped in. And so I thank God. Keep praying for us because right now we are in five local county jails plus all of the jails, the prisons that are in New York State. We are also technically, by technology, because technology is now in prison since COVID come and they shut everybody out. Now the inmates have tablets. Don't worry. It's not your money going to them. You're not paying for them tablets. It goes by their family. No, they cannot go on a regular Wi-Fi and hook up to the internet. Okay? There's a big kiosk that's on the wall. whatever that facility allows in on those tablets that's permitted, that's the only thing they have access to. They have to plug that into the wall, and doing that, they can only download only what's on there. But that gives me access to them for video visits as well as emails, okay? And so we get to stay in contact with them. Right now, we are in 77 different jails and prisons in 17 different states, okay? Wow. Just by 10 now. Hey, we get years with them. I got six guys right now that I'm training to be pastors that are never coming home out of the penitentiary. They will never see daylight behind a prison wall, okay? But does that mean they're worthless in there? Oh, no. Right. Paul said the word of God is not bound. Yeah. Hey, they're with them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they can go in there and reach their people, man. And so what do we? Once we train them, any questions they have, anything that they need, Bibles, study materials, I can get that to them. I can get that to the people that they're working with. I can go in that prison and sit down one-on-one and work with them and sit down and help them, whatever questions they have, whatever they have. I can sit there 4, 5, 6, 7 hours with the Bible, open it up to them, and I can share with them, and then I can help the person that they're working with. We can also do visits with them. And so we got an email yesterday that almost four years ago, I got kicked out of the Allegheny County Jail for doing the right thing. They just don't like people in the jails anymore. They don't like, look, I don't go in there announcing, I'm a King James Bible believer. They won't even let you in with that. I just have to go in with that Bible. Right. And I just have to go in there and preach it. And once they see what's going on with those inmates, once they see that there's changes going on, then they don't have a problem with me proclaiming that King James Bible out loud. And it's very short time, Brother Rice. When I go in and I start taking this Bible and tearing it apart the way God has given it to me, they start giving me those NIVs and all the ESVs and everything else. I take them out and burn them and give them a King James Bible. It just happens. I don't have to beat them up more. Why? Because the Holy Ghost does a good enough job.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what he does. And so you pray for liberty behind bars as we continue to do what the Lord has to do. And just remember, God has taken the man from the streets, from the gutters, and he's raised him up to sit down with kings. God has taught me now to be able to have that ability to sit down with kings. And what a big thing it is, and I'm not saying this for any other reason except for what it has done. My pastor said, Dale, because of your rapture, I got 17-page rapture. Like I said, I did jail and prison in 3 different states. He said, you need to go get your doctorate. And so for 8 years, I've worked on a doctorate. I got my Dr. Dale Morey. Right. You know how many doors that's open for me to get into the jails and prisons?
Yeah.
Why? Because you got an ex-convict who wants to come back into the jail. That makes them question, why is he doing this? Okay. They don't have an understanding like you do that God is just sending me back to my people. For you pastors in here, your church, they are your people, and you love them.
Amen.
Those in jail and prison, I love them. Not for what they've done. I'm not advocating for what they've done. But we're going in there to teach them about Jesus Christ that they might be saved and never have to do this again. Okay? I'm not advocating. Secondly, you must understand where they come from. They don't function on the same conscience that we function on. But anyway, that's not what I'm going to talk about. I wasn't going to plan on talking about my ministry that much. But you just pray for us as God moves us along and teaches us. And for men that have been there, Brother Drake and Brother Fenton, that's been by my side and helping me, giving me things when I need them, talking to me, wisdom. I'm new to all this stuff. I'm used to being on that side. 40 years as an unsaved man, 11 years as a saved man, going back into the same jails and prisons that I spent time in. That's not just an easy transition. That takes time, okay? It's hard because those men now look at me like, hey, are you a snitch? All has to be earned. Nothing's given to me.
Yeah.
That's right.
Nothing's ever been given to me in liberty behind bars. It's been by blood, sweat, and tears, except for Pastor Fenton and this church helping us out. So anyway, I see a disease traveling around our churches. And that disease is a lack of man.
Wow.
I'm not talking about biological males. I'm talking about men.
Yeah,
men have lost the ability. They've turned into biological males. They've turned into effeminate males.
Yeah.
The way you got up and preached last night, I'm okay with that. I'm all right with the stuff you say. But man, most of the time, you can't say that stuff anymore. Everybody gets their underwear in a bunch, and they're afraid. Oh, look, he offended me. Why? Because they become effeminate males.
Yeah, yeah, right. You're right.
Just because they have the part does not make them a man.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And our churches are being ran by those same people behind a pulpit.
Right.
Right.
A man who's called to be a pastor or a man who's called to go out and do any kind of missions ought to go spend some time in a neighborhood.
Right.
You gotta have to learn how to deal with people, but they got their skin is so thin.
Right.
You can't see anything without. Why? Because men have lost the ability to be men. But I have to say this: there's been a couple generations that have forgotten to teach us that.
Sure.
Let me just say this: I didn't have somebody teaching me how to be a man. Would to God I did have an older man teach me that, but it was not in my church. And it's not in many churches. But that Bible instructs us to teach the younger.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Amen.
We fail in that.
Amen.
I have younger men who are underneath me now. Why? Because it's important that they understand what a man is. It's important because a lot of them don't understand what a man is biblically. And so generations have come along now. Well, let's just take a look around and see how many young people we have in here that are men. Hmm. That's how it is in churches, brother.
Yeah. Come on.
And I thank God. But it's men your ages that are holding the churches together today.
Right.
Sure, there's some young guys out there and they're, you know, they got to do this and they got to do that. I'm not knocking it for that. But when I go to pastor's fellowships, which I often go to, just to go get some, you know, encouragement stuff, this is what I see.
Yeah.
This is what I see. And then I'll step into a young man's church and go, ooh, I'm not sure if I can hang with him. I'm not sure because he's given up the things of God. He's changed his glory.
Right.
He's lost his belief in thinking that that Bible can change life. People say, Dale, how did your life become changed? How did you get off the drugs? 15 years on an opioid addiction. Drugs and alcohol. How did you get out of that stuff? I tell them this: Jesus Christ, a King James Bible, and church.
Amen.
That's it.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
I didn't need a program. I didn't need a class to take. But today, because people behind the pulpit have lost the belief that Jesus Christ and that Bible can change lives, they bring all these programs in to show their unbelief. Now we know we can't attract them in with the Bible anymore. We're dealing with different ground. That's different soil. But brother man, when I heard you say that last night, it blew my mind because not many men know that.
Right.
They're still trying to plant a seed, which that seed never changes. But right. The soil sure did.
Yeah.
That soil's not accepting it like it used to 30, 40, and 50 years ago, but yet we keep trying the same process and wonder why we are where we are. We had a woman in our church. We had the Ten Commandments hanging on our wall. I don't know if you've seen them while you were there, but she's 30 years old. She looked at it, she goes, what are the Ten Commandments? Yeah. At 30 years old, my granddaughter went on a trip with us. And she came under conviction, brother. I said, Jaylen, do you know of Jesus Christ? She looked at me and she said, I've never heard of him. She's 13 years old.
Yeah.
Why? Galatians chapter 5 says this, that men have forgot how to stand.
Right.
Stand fast. That means do not be moved. Stay where you are. But here's what they do today. They call that standing. And more and more and more, they're out there gaining that ground. They're out there gaining that ground. They're out there gaining that ground. Yet we say, yes, we are taking a stand. We're not taking a stand. We're losing.
Yeah,
you all know it just as much as I can sit here and say it today.
Mm-hmm.
If we're gaining ground, then why are so many churches closing?
Yeah. Right.
Come on. Yeah.
Why is it that there's churches out there begging for a pastor to come in and be a pastor to them? People want to be pastors.
Yeah.
They can't find him anymore. Why? Because a little pretty palace boy is all worried about a wife.
Yeah. There you go.
Right. Come on.
I'm not against Bible college or whatever. I'm not against all that nonsense. Bible college didn't teach me Bible. I can guarantee you that.
Right.
Sitting out, the Holy Ghost of God is what taught me that Bible.
Yeah.
Sitting in my church, the ground and pillar of the truth is what taught me that Bible. Yeah. Getting in there at home, brother, and tearing that book up and getting into that, that's what taught me the Bible.
Amen.
Right.
But today we got these little guys coming out with their little... Let me just show you. Let me give you a little example. The little tight pants and spiked hair.
Come on.
They couldn't handle the first bit of trouble that came along their way.
Come on.
Why? Nobody taught them how to be a man. Somebody taught them a few things and a few verses. If you follow this line, follow that outline, do this and do that, and you'll be just fine. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
If it was... we wouldn't be in the position we're at. So I just want to take a few minutes here. Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. I just want to take a few minutes here to talk about men. Look at this. God is calling all men. I don't know who said it. Somebody said it, you know. The women are running the church. You know why I can't get in a lot of jail, sister? Because the women have become chaplains.
Wow.
And then women chaplains, man, no, it does not matter. They do not like men coming in there because most of them are lesbians.
Yeah.
It's brutal, man. It is terrible. I'd rather go up against somebody who will cuss me out than one of them because, man, they are brutal. There's no holds bar on them, man. They don't have a problem doing what they're going to say and saying what they're going to do, and they will fight to keep you out of there. And I mean legitimately fight. Like I said, I was kicked out of a jail. Man, imagine that, being kicked out of jail. First time in my life. I was kicked out of a jail for doing the right thing. And every year I write that jail and say, look, I'm not sure what went on because really you never told me what happened. I know one thing that I did was go visit somebody. They just lost their daughter to a drug overdose, and I went in there to counsel that man. Next thing you know, I got called to the office, and they kicked me out of the jail. Wouldn't let me back into Allegheny County Jail. 4 years. He said, you'll be out for 6 months. 4 years later, I'm finally going to get ready to go back in.
Yeah.
Finally, after all those years. Why? Because, man, they don't like the truth in there. Now, I'm going to say this. When you're working with men and women that are in jail and prison, the guards have heard them guys claim Jesus Christ so much, yet they watch them come in and out of jail, in and out of prison, in and out of jail. They don't believe that Jesus Christ changes their life for 1 minute.
Right. Yeah, right. Yep.
Not for 1 minute do they believe that Jesus Christ ever can change that person's life. And so when somebody like us goes in there, they cuss me out, they swear at me, they're like, why are you wasting your time being in here? I said, because I want them to get saved. They go, well, they already claimed Jesus. I said, they got the wrong one. That Bible talks about couple Jesus. The one that changes lives and the one that wants to be like him, according to Isaiah chapter 14.
Yeah.
I'll be like the Most High God, not the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Paul warns us if they come preach another Jesus. Why would he say that?
Yeah.
When I walk into a room, brother, the very first question I ask all those inmates, male or female, I go, why isn't your Jesus changing you? Why is mine changing me?
Amen.
What Jesus do you have?
Come on.
And then your salvation. When did you get saved? And some of them, you know, they'll raise their hand. I say, how did you get saved? Why did you need to be saved? What did you need to be saved from? And it's like this.
What's it?
Crickets.
Yeah. Wow.
But yet they all claim to be saved. I know. I've done it. I played the game. And so God has given me the ability now to go in there and if we can't spiritually challenge them, then what good are we doing to people if we can't give them that Bible?
Right.
We need to make them think spiritually, on a spiritual level. Jesus Christ with the woman at the well, talking to her. Hey, I can give you, well, where are you going to get a bucket from? The very first thing she said and thinks about is the physical.
Yeah.
Okay.
What did Jesus Christ have to do? Deal with her sin. She understood. He was talking about a different woman. And that's what we have to go in there. Why? Because everybody has been taught to go to the physical for your help.
Yeah.
Right.
Go to the doctors, go to the, you know, rehab, go to the this and go to the that. And I'm just telling you, man, I have people, parents walk up to me all the time. They say, Dale, I hear you say all the time that Jesus Christ can deliver people. He can deliver them from drugs. Why is my daughter still struggling? I said, sir, have you ever, ever thought about that? It's maybe your unbelief, that she sees your unbelief and therefore she doesn't believe because you don't believe. Because you believe me not. The Bible says, God said, because ye believe me not. They don't believe. Anyway, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 5 through 9, look what it says. To whom will ye liken me? Isaiah chapter 46, verses 5 through 9. To whom will ye liken me? This is God speaking. And make me equal and compare me. That we may be like. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh a god. That's our religious works. That's our traditions that we get of men. And they fall down, yea, they worship him. They bear upon the shoulder, they carry him and set him in his place. And he standeth from his place. Shall he not be removed? Yea, one shall cry unto him. Yet can he not answer nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves of men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Men today have brought in all these traditions. They brought in all these programs, and they've given up the glory of God for those things because they don't believe that God can still do the same work that he used to do.
Right. Yeah.
Why can't he deliver people like he used to? He can, but we've lost that ability to believe. Here's what we do. We'll go out there and we'll go soul winning. And somebody will make a profession. And no matter what happens to that person from now on, the next time you see them in a supermarket, they run from you. Brother, can I say this? When I got saved, I didn't run from the pastor. I ran to the church.
Amen.
I didn't run from the church. I ran to it.
Amen.
Why? Because I had a new creature. I got a new man inside of me. And it gave me a new desire. I wanted to be under the word of God. Why are they running from us? Then we look at them and go, no matter what they do, no change in their life whatsoever, go, well, they meant that with their whole heart.
Wow.
Says, when did you become the Holy Ghost?
Yeah, man. Careful now.
Right.
What happened? We take that profession because we no longer believe in a changed life.
Yeah.
So we'll just hold on to that profession and tell them they're okay. Making them twofold children of hell.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Because man has stepped into a place, they've changed the glory of God, they've stepped into the place of the Holy Ghost, and now they convince people they're okay. But Romans 8:16 tells us different. Capital S spirit. Bears witness with small S spirit. That means God's spirit is telling my spirit, I'm his child. Pastor Finn, how many times do you think my daughter has to come up to me and ask me if she's my child? If you're a born-again, believe person, you don't have to question if you're God's child. You just get in that book and it'll let you know.
Amen.
His spirit will let you know. It's not. But today, here's what's going on today, Pastor Drake. Their spirit's witnessing with their spirit that they're children of God.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
And they're bloated with doubt. Why? Because we brought in all this stuff. We've forgotten that God is still God. He's still the throne. He can still save. But it takes a little longer today than it did back then, but we still want to rush him through the microwave.
Right.
Yeah, not right.
Leave him alone. The Holy Ghost knows what he's doing.
Amen.
And the times when people are being ran through that same thing and it's doing no good, the soil's different today. We can't handle it like we used to. It's not going to work. Look around. Is it working? It's not. Why? But men, I see men sitting in front of me, but it's a rarity. You understand that? It's a rarity traveling around the great United States of America to see men. I would love for my son to sit amongst the men here, but I can't say that for everywhere I go. You understand?
Right. Yeah.
No.
There's not men. Look, if little boys can't come to a Baptist church and find a man, where can they? What's he going to run to?
Right.
What's he going to look at? We got to get back and realize that at the end of that verse, he says, I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. We say that, we believe that, but we live counter that. Those people out there with other perverted versions of the Bible, they live like they have the truth. It's always them that have, they got food shelters, they got clothing shelters, and they got all this and all that. What about us mighty Baptists? Why aren't we living like we have the truth? Because those men have lost their footing. You think these younger men coming up behind, and not all, not all. But you think most of the men coming up behind you guys and us are going to be able to take that stand that you didn't know? You know why? Because nobody's teaching them.
Jay.
Nobody's showing how, brother. You have a knowledge man that can help these young men with understanding what ground they're dealing with and what day we're dealing with, but yet they're still stuck in that cycle. It's got to be broken. Mm-hmm. You say, how did somebody reach you? I sat underneath the preaching of the Word of God and the Holy Ghost dealt with me. I didn't need somebody to lead me down the Romans road and pray. I was already broken. Before I hit my knees on that floor, the Holy Ghost had already dealt with me. I didn't need somebody to come and deal with me. I didn't get saved by somebody praying with me. Now, I'm not saying it didn't work. I'm not saying it won't work. But it's not necessary. We're in a different day and age. You ask somebody next time you go and pray with them and you lead them to the Lord, have you done this before? Yeah, probably 3 or 4 times. You know what's happening every time we do that to them? We're inoculating them against the Holy Ghost.
Sure. Come on.
They're going to stop hearing it at some point. You know what happened to me, Pastor? There was a time that I hated God. And it became very, very bitter against God because people would come up to me and say, Jesus Christ will change your life. And he never did.
Huh?
They kept promising me something. But what they didn't tell me is that I need to hear that book in belief.
Mm-hmm.
Not trust. You find me anywhere in that book where it says to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll buy you dinner for a year. 84 times in the book of John alone, talking about salvation, he says, believe on the salvation. Yeah. Believe on the salvation. Believe, believe, believe. Go to Psalm 78:22. It says they trusted not, they believed not in this. Not be turning up, I'm going to misquote it. Psalm 78:22. Look at this. It even goes back into the Old Testament. Look what it says here. One of the first times it's mentioned. Psalm chapter 78, verse 22. And look what it says. It says, because they believed not in God, and what? Trusted not in his salvation. Because they what? It didn't say trust first. It's because they believe not.
Right.
A person must believe. They can, after a person believes unto Jesus Christ, after a person believes this King James Bible to be the Word of God, that's where I start off with in the jails today. Because everybody has came in there and told them that the King James Bible is not the perfect Word of God. Even King James Bible men who call themselves believers. Tell them there is no such thing as the perfect Word of God. If there is a perfect Word of God, you got to match it up with Greek and Hebrew.
Oh.
Let me just tell you this about the Greek and Hebrew. God took it out of Greek and Hebrew for a reason.
Amen.
Amen. Why are we trying to put it back in it?
Yeah.
I don't need it to understand. I had a man tell me this one day. He says, if you don't understand Greek and Hebrew, you'll never understand the fullness of salvation. That I'm going to die and bust hell wide open.
Yeah.
That's what you're telling me. Now imagine me going into jail and prison and trying to teach them that.
Come on.
God took it out of those languages and put it in this for his purpose. Now why are we trying to change it back to it?
Yeah.
Because men have lost their footing. They're bringing in all this stuff. They're bringing all these magic potions and all these numbers and all these tricks and all these programs. Why? They're trying to win people because they no longer can get in that Bible themselves and study it and read it. You know why? Because Google will answer their question now.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something, and I'm not against it, but let me just tell you this. We got to stop. For 50, 60 years now, man has heard the voice of men's book and not the Word of God.
Come on.
Well, so-and-so wrote a book, and so-and-so wrote a book, and you know this lexicon and this commentary, and that's what they're saying. They're not even hardly quoting the Bible anymore.
Yeah. Come on.
You know what you can do with them books? You can burn them. It don't mean nothing to me. I want to hear God's opinion of what he has to say.
Amen.
But yet we're listening, brother. They're listening to man's voice. And so when you come in and start teaching things, they think it's strange doctrine. But you know what it really is? The same thing Lester Roloff would have preached, straight Bible.
Yeah. Amen.
Straight Bible. Amen. And they come in, well, I never heard that before. No, because you listen to so-and-so and who. Yeah. Right. I don't care about any of them. None. How many of them do you think I read? Let me just say this. Who taught them? Who taught them that? We all say they're saved men. Then who taught them that? The Holy Ghost? So why can't he teach me?
Yeah.
Why do I have to rely on what somebody else's opinion is? Why can't God show me his own opinion? This is what's crept in. This is what he's talking about here. I'm spiritualizing what he says here in Isaiah 46. They're trading the God, the Holy God, for a small God. They're trying to set him in a place. They're putting him on a place like back here, and they're setting him there. That's their programs, that's their books, that's everything they got. And they put that little God behind their pulpit and say, okay, let's go, guys. What's it doing for us? Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Try.
You know why I was nervous up here? Because I'm sitting in a room full of men of God.
Mine.
I've been doing this for a long time.
Mine.
But it's not there. And it breaks my heart. Look at me, it breaks my heart. At 11 years old in the Lord, I see what's going on. I understand we're in the last days, but does that mean we have to give up manhood?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we got to stop standing? Why are we? What about those ones behind us? I'm trying to exhort here. I'm not trying to encourage you. Encourage is just a little short pick-me-up. I'm trying to give you something that's going to exhort you for a long period of time that you can leave here and think, ponder. You know, when Mary was told things, she said that she pondered them in her heart. The problem is today, brother, nobody's pondering what's being said to them.
Yeah. That's right.
We come in, y'all heard that before. That's it. I can't stand that about Mary. We ought to be listening, because every one of us, from what I heard, every one of us believe this is the Word of God. We love this book, but yet we do the same thing. Every one of us are guilty of hearing what's being said, walking out that door, and never think about what's being said here again. Why do we have men's fellowships then? Just to get, come together and see how well each other's dressed and see how much studying we've done, and let's puff each other up. I'll send you the puffiness. I don't need your puffiness. I just need you. I need you to be a man so that I can have somebody to look at, so I can have somebody to look up to and watch where you stand. I want to watch where you're standing, because I need that. And if I need it, and I've been called to preach, and I'm willing to admit that I need to be able to see where you stand, that I need to be able to watch what you stand for. Isn't that what God put men in our lives for? To be able to watch that? You remember when you got saved, you had men. You all had men around you, showing you and teaching you what's going on in our generation, brother. Why are they leaving us to ourselves? That's a reality. How about you? Somebody teaching you? Somebody teaching you what it is to be a man back there? Unfortunately, the sad thing is that thank God I had the Holy Ghost of God. Thank God that I had a Bible that God could show me what it is. Because you're right. He's not only God, but he's God the Father. And he separates that six times in the New Testament. Because he lets you know, I'm not only your God, but I'm also your Father.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Why? Because men like me didn't know what it's like to have a Father. I always knew God as a God who was judgmental. A God who wrote the laws, who was holy, and he was righteous. But I never knew him as that Father. And when Paul exposed that six times in the New Testament that he's God, and he'll deal with us as God, but he's also a Father, and there's times that he deals with us as the Father. If we'll just look at that and say, how is God dealing with me in this matter? It'll change your whole outlook on things. Because there's been times I go, what is going on? And God said, Dale, I'm dealing with you as a Father right now. I have to make a decision for you that you don't understand. And I know you think that I'm hurting you, but out of a pure love for you, I'm helping you. Take my hand. Take my hand. He's dealing with me as a father. You know who taught me that?
None.
Taught me how to be a husband. Who taught me how to be a husband?
Come on.
Taught me how to be a dad. There were times that we had men to look up to like that, and there have been a few men, brother, who I've watched in their 70s and 80s take care of their wives until death. And man, what a blessing to see a man put himself out there like that. But that's not
me.
It's not the norm. Why? Men have lost their footing. They've given it up. I prayed, I said, God, well, me and my wife, if you allow me and my wife, if you don't come back, and we get to that point where we're in our 70s and 80s, and I have to take care of my wife, give me the strength to stand like that man stood.
Come on.
And be able to take care of her, because you gave her to me. You gave her to me. Now strengthen me to take care of her in those old times. Well, God has given the man a great responsibility. Man has traded in their glory for the works of man. Today, the problem is finally the man. It's the biological males have taken over the churches. That's what we're putting out there and expecting them to be able to make it. And what are they doing? They're not teaching the younger generation anymore. Somebody else, they got it from them. They got it from them. Now they're passing it down to them. But that's all it is man's opinions. Do you know the younger pastors today can't do what you said? They can't get in that Bible and get their own messages out of it?
Come on. Right.
Brother, for them to stand up here and be able to tell them at Exodus to teach those things that you taught, man, it's almost, you can't hardly find it anywhere. And they came out of Bible college.
Right.
I had a preacher tell me this. He said, I didn't have Bible knowledge until I went to Bible college. I about dropped on my face. He's a preacher, a pastor of a church in his 40s. That's what's out there. See, this area, we're closing a circumference. We're just in this little area. But let me tell you about it, being a missionary. Let me tell you what's going on out there in the churches. We can blame our government for a lot of things, correct? And I agree with you. But we cannot blame them for the depravity of our churches.
Amen.
That's the man's responsibility.
Amen.
And we've given that responsibility up.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a reality. Ezekiel 22 verse 30 says this, and I sought for a man. Yeah. God is seeking for a man. He says, among them that should make up a hedge. Somebody who's going to protect that church, protect that flock, protect that family, that put that hedge. There were men back in the days who built that hedge.
Right.
That hedge is slowly being taken away. It's slowly being torn down. And there's just a remnant of you men, a remnant of you men that have a hedge. I watched your son, Jack Young. He's got that hedge that you built around him. That's how it was supposed to be.
Right.
But today it's been torn down. It's been chopped and cut. We've let little things slide in here and there. God said, I'm looking for a man. I'm looking for a man that should make up a hedge and stand in the gap before me in that land. God is looking for some men to stand. My friends, you guys can only stand so long. What about what's coming behind you?
Yeah.
What about me in the Overtons? What about me and you and me? Are we going to be able to take these men's places? Are we going to be able to stand in that gap? Are we going to be able to raise up? Brother, there's not many of us left.
Yeah.
You've been lucky to have a man of God as a father to teach you that, brother.
Yeah.
But what about the rest of them? I loved you guys since the first time I met you because I just know the reality. I can see that you've been taught things and God has been in your life. You've been through some good things. You've been through hard things. You know what? That way you can help hedge up some things. If you ain't been through nothing, you can't hedge nothing up. I always ask God, don't take me out of things. Get me through them. I'll learn more going through it than I ever will coming out of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, he says this. That I should not destroy it, but I found none. America's been turned over to itself, it's been turned over to its own heart, it's been turned over to its heart's desires. Everybody's in this whole, well, we're in the end times. All right, give up? Do we give up because we're in the end times? or heading to end times or whatever. Because you know what? Today, people are on the edge of hell more than ever. It's not the time to, you know, wave the white flag and be done. It's time for a man to get back up, to stand up and teach that one that's coming behind him how to stand up and do what they did and get out there and be able to be with those people and show them and teach them. My goodness, I don't know who it was yesterday. Who, you know, the Women's Haters Club and the Men's Haters Club, right? That's even more prevalent today than ever. It's terrible. Why? Fathers missing in the homes. Fathers missing in the homes, man. And you know what? I thank God because, you know what? If God didn't save me, I wouldn't have been in that home. I wouldn't have been with her and her children. Brother, I was heading right back out to where I've always done. That pretty little lady used to sit there and pray that God would kill me. She couldn't take it no more. She was sick and tired of it. She said, I love him, Lord. I can't deal with it. You know, it wasn't long after that God sent a man my way. He answered her prayer. He killed that old sucker nail boy and gave her the husband she needed. And gave my children the father they needed when he saved me 12 years ago. Why, he's a good God like that. And he wants to do that with many others, but you know what we do? We just let him go to the wayside. Let him fall out. Well, we can't stop him. We can't help him. No, that's our disbelief. Jesus Christ said, did not many, many works. Why? Because of unbelief. We're a nation of unbelief. He said, why would you say that? Because we're a laughing stock since COVID came. Since COVID came, Christians are a laughing stock. Back in the days, so most of you men that are sitting here in your 60s and 70s, you know, back when things happened in America, people ran to Christians. They wanted prayer. Where are they running to? Us now? No, they're running from us.
Yeah.
Who showed them that? We did. We showed them the lack of faith. We showed them how big our God really is to us in our lives. That's what we showed them. What's next coming down the line? What's it really going to look like? We're already a laughing stock. You said it last night. Can't even hardly go out there and say, hey, you can't even say track it. We don't even know what a track is. Well, God's calling all men. Psalms 12:1 says this, help, Lord, why the godly man sees it. You know this is an ETH on the end of that word, an ETH on the end of that word cease. When you see that in the King James Bible, it means something that continues to happen. The godly man ceases. That means they're going away. It's not stopping. It's continuing to happen over and over again. The godly man is hardly found anymore. They're trying to emulate somebody else that was godly, and they're trying to take on what they want instead of what God wants. And it's wonder why our churches are falling apart. The godly man sees it. They're gone. I know during COVID, I lost a lot of good friend preachers, Sammy Allen and a bunch of guys from the South and all those guys, good friends of mine. They all died from COVID. Why? Because I think God was sparing the older folks from what's coming. But he left you guys here. He left a remnant of men here. He left a remnant of men here. Why? So we can have them to look up to. So that younger generation can look and see how you handle. I like to look and see how you guys are doing. My wife likes the older lady. She likes to look up and say, what is she doing? How does she handle this? Did not my wife ask you a question last night, Pastor? Why? Because she knows that there's a man who's been through some things. I'm not saying the rest of you haven't. I'm just saying she asked him a question. She knew there was a man that could help answer her. But you guys are going away. You guys are going to leave her. You're not going to be here. What next? What's coming behind us? Thank God for Paul.
Amen.
No, I'm just saying, thank God because, man, he's learning to be a man. He's going to go through. He's learning to be a man. Well, the godly man sees it. For the faithful fail from among the children. The churches in America are closing at an alarming rate. And when you do find a man, he's lost his courage. He's defeated. And he's traded the calling on his life and has taken on the traditions and G-Bok. You go, what is G-Bok? That's General Body of Christian Knowledge. It's just a basic nonsense that all Christians know that does nobody any good. But they hang on to the G-Bok. And they call it doctrine. And they call it this and they call it that. And it's done America zero good. G-Bok. Nonsense. place of what God has shown them. I just want to close with this in Ezekiel chapter 14. Look at Ezekiel chapter 14, and we'll close with this. And go on our way. Calling all men, God's calling all men. Best thing we can do is those young men that are in our church, take them and teach them, and they can teach others, and they can teach others. For however long God has to give us, however long he tarries until he comes. Well, I get to go to heaven with you guys. When that trumpet blows, I'm going with you. We'll get to spend eternity together, Pastor Fenton.
Amen.
Brother, we'll get to listen to you guys sing for eternity.
Amen.
Brother Russ, I hope to see you behind the pulpit teaching. I like it. And you, being behind the pulpit, just being bold as all get. I love it, brother. That's my style. That's what I'm about, man. I've heard so much about you. It's been an honor for me to be able to meet you, brother. An absolute honor. I love your son. I'm falling in love with you, and I thank you so much for being the man that you've been over the years. And that goes for every single one of you older men, and I mean that with all my heart. Thank you for being men that we look up to. Thank you for being men who've held your grounds. Now you pray, older men, for the ones coming up behind that we can start holding our grounds, because we're losing it. We're losing
Amen.
It. Here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to spiritualize this, but I tell you, it'll speak volumes. Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 4 and 5 says, therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. We know God is talking here, so it's important that we ought to listen. Every man of the house of Israel, it's a picture of the church. Every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart. These idols are those traditions or the programs, that's the G-Bot that they've set up in their heart. God doesn't like them and he's against them. He wants a man to get into this. He wants a man to read this, to study this, to pray over this, to fast over this. We preach this all the time and say, this is the word of God. This is the word of God. Then why are they turning to everything else?
Amen. Right.
There's nothing like this. Man, I get up at between 4 and 5 o'clock in the morning. I get my coffee going, and I'm so excited. You know what? I get to get in the Bible.
Amen.
I love it, brother. Why? Because I know where it brought me from. There are people out there without hope, and they need to know that that Bible and Jesus Christ and church can bring them from where they are.
Right.
Convicts. In a gang, that Bible delivered me from a violent gang to where I was a head up in that gang. I was allowed to walk away from that stuff. Any of you walk away from a gang? How about a million Dale Morris sitting in church, pulling out of gangs, pulling them out of addictions and jails and prisons?
Yeah.
Have we lost that ability to believe that God can still do it?
All right, come on.
By the preaching of the word.
Yes.
That's what you guys built your ministries on.
Right.
Preaching the word. Teaching the word.
Amen.
It's still just as powerful today. Yes, we got to deal with people who are a little different. They're hardened necks and hardened hearts. Why? Because that Bible's been taken out of them. You know what? We give it to them. It's a gift to them.
Right.
It was a gift to me when I got this Bible.
Right.
And I started understanding. Because inside, brother, they're screaming for it. But they're so tired of screaming because everybody promised them help and never could help them. And now somebody comes along preaching another Jesus with another gospel, another spirit. And it's destroyed. It's destroyed. But look what it says here. That setteth up the idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face. And cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Why? What's he going to do? That I may take the house of Israel, that's the church, in their own heart, because they're all estranged from me through their idols. Men are estranged from God through the idols that they've set up in church and called it ministry. You go, how can you say that? Because I watch it over and over and over. There are few churches anymore that build their church on this. It's just not there anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not there anymore. But you men, that remnant that I know of, who's still around, can help it come out. You can still help. You're not dead and gone. Jesus Christ hasn't came and got you. So you know, you can still be a help. And I want you to know this. When you, wherever you go, wherever you travel, wherever you end up, that young man that's sitting in that church, he's screaming for you. Because he doesn't know what's coming. That young preacher that you see standing behind a pulpit somewhere, consider. Consider what you went through, and maybe he doesn't know that. Maybe you can just, you know, send him a text or shoot him an email and say, look, whatever, you can encourage him and help him. Because I tell you what, we need it in the ministry. I'm a missionary, an American missionary to jails and prisons across the United States. I need men praying like you.
Amen.
You can come up to me, Brother Tim, and hand me $100,000. But it will never move God like your prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Men, your prayers are vital to people like us. Are they not, Brother Overton? Vital for us. Please, pray for liberty behind bars. Because God will hear your prayers, and we need your prayers. Amen. Brother, thank you.